Elizabeth Elliot says, "It takes a steadfast heart to allow the Lord to let His will be done in us. But I want that kind of heart. I want His will with all my heart." Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Music of His Promises, Listening to God with Love, Trust, and Obedience. As you seek a closer walk with Jesus Christ, thank you for joining us for another challenge from Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliot talking again today with my friend Arlita Winston. Arlita was telling us yesterday about when her parents, missionaries with the Christian and Missionary Alliance, took her and her older sister to Sumatra, to the jungle. And while they were there, your mother's brother, was it? Lost his wife in childbirth. So your mother ended up not with two children, but with?
Six.
And then what?
Well, it wasn't long after that that we had to flee for our lives because the Japanese were coming in. The war had broken out.
World War I.
World War II.
World War II we're talking about.
And we had to flee for our lives with just what was on our backs. And I've often imagined mother with that newborn wondering, what do you do with a baby, with formula, with diapers, with toddlers, with children up to nine? How do you help them to flee through the jungles? All I know is that we made it. We made it to the dock where we were able to get the last ship going out. In fact, all those who missed that ship were put into concentration camp the very next day. But we made that last ship.
Do you remember this?
I remember this, fleeing through the jungles. And it was during this time we sang the little song that my father wrote, that's a little chorus. Maybe most people have never heard of it, but we grew up with it. It was that, Jesus is a wonderful Savior. He will carry you through. Jesus is a wonderful Savior. He will carry you through. Jesus is a wonderful Savior. He will carry you through until the battle's done and the victory is won. My Lord will carry you through. When the world's on fire, when the world's on fire, you'll need my Jesus to be your Savior. He'll hide you ever in the rock of ages, in the rock of ages, just cleft for you. And we sang that running through the jungles for our lives.
And you were how old?
And I was 3 1/2.
And you claim you remember that.
Very well.
I have to believe you. Sounds incredible.
And then so, we got on board ship and dodged the submarines for 3 long months.
Traveling where?
Dodging the submarines from Sumatra, hoping to get back to America. We came around the Cape, went around India. But during that time, all of our radio communications were knocked out completely so that no one knew that our ship was still on top of the ocean at all. In fact, 3 months later, when we finally pulled in to the New York Harbor, the headline said, Ghost Ship Arrives. And we were all safe and sound.
Now, what gave your parents the kind of fortitude that it took to go through that experience with six little tiny children?
Well, I think knowing that God had called them in the first place to come and take the good news, they knew that He was leading them, that He was their shepherd, that He was able, if He had called them there, He was able to perform what needed to be performed. There's that verse that says, faithful is He who hath called you, who also will do it. And I think during those days, they learned that this shepherd was faithful, he was true, he was able to deliver. You know, fear is faith in your enemy's ability.
Faith in your enemy's ability. Could you elaborate on that?
Well, I think of on board ship, where we had the air raid sirens all the time. Mother used to laugh. She'd say, just as she had gotten the six children all tucked into bed, and she was ready to have her shower, the air raid sirens would go, and she'd have to jump out of that shower and quick get all the life jackets onto the six children so that we could get into the lifeboat. And, of course, fear is faith in the enemy's ability to sink our ship, where even if we were exploded, what would you do with the six children? You can sometimes face dying yourself, but when you have six little ones that you're responsible for, so that fear would grip. And Dad remembers one particular time when the sirens had gone off in the middle of the night, and as he was just fumbling to get the ties around Andrea's life jacket, she was just all wide awake, and she'd say, oh, Daddy, isn't this fun? It's in the nighttime. And the excitement of getting into that lifeboat was not exactly excitement for Dad, I'm sure.
So what's the antidote for this kind of fear?
Faith in God's ability to bring us through.
As opposed to faith in the enemy's ability
yes.
to destroy you. We have so many letters from people who are afraid of what's going to happen in their own future. For example, if someone has just received word that they or somebody they love has cancer, what would you say to them?
Well, I know just in the last few days I've received word that I've had to go for a test for cancer, and I don't know the outcome of that, but I know that the Lord gave me a verse that was very clear in my morning reading. He said, I will perfect that which concerneth you. And I thought, all right, it doesn't matter what happens, whether this is benign or malignant. God's going to perfect every single thing that has to do with me, according to the days that he wants me alive here on earth. I think immediately of my own mother, who really did have a malignancy, and she had gone to the doctor alone that time, and when she came out of the doctor's office with the realization that it was malignant, she had breast cancer, she got into the car and started to drive away, and she said, I could not move out of that parking lot. She said, I felt like I was just hit below the belt, and I could hardly breathe with the news. So she said she reached over into her purse, got her little New Testament out, and said, Lord, I can't move from here unless you give me your word, unless you give me your attitude in this whole situation. And so she turned to the end of Colossians in her regular reading that she was reading that day, and she came to the verse at the end that says, now you tell Archippus, this is the Apostle Paul talking, you tell Archippus to finish the work that he was given to do. And Mother closed the Bible and she said, that's it. All I have to do is just complete the work you've given me to do. All right, Lord, I can do that. And with that, she put the key in the ignition and off she drove back home to tell Dad. And that was the theme throughout her life right to the dying day. When I went out to help take care of her those last months, she would waken in the morning and she'd say, now, sweetheart, what wonderful thing are we going to do today? Now, it might have been just reading through a couple of letters and answering them, or it may have been just clearing through a drawer with some tapes, or it may have been sorting out a few pieces of jewelry for her to know what was going to go to a grandchild.
But always there was something, and that, to me, that is one of the most wonderfully consoling things in the midst of any kind of difficulty, that there is always something that God has given us to do. It might be, as you say, clearing out a drawer. It might be cooking a meal for somebody else. It might be washing the sheets. I found that myself in the experience of taking care of my husband when he was dying of cancer. But everything that you've told us yesterday and today about the courage, just plain old-fashioned courage of your parents we need to hear today. We desperately need to know that there is such a thing as courage and endurance. When's the last time you heard a sermon on courage?
Well, I know that I needed this for myself. I remember at one point, after going back and forth to Denver to help take care of Mother, I found myself not being able to face going back one more time because I thought that time we would be putting her into the grave. And I thought, Lord, I cannot face it. I do not have that kind of courage that Mother and Dad have. I can't even see Mother go into that grave. And the Lord spoke to me in a very special, precious way into my heart that morning. He said, Arlita, do you remember when you went out to Illinois to help your niece get married, Robin? And I said, of course, Lord. I went out and we celebrated. It was a wonderful week. I got to sing at her wedding, but what does that have to do with Mother dying? And he said, Arlita, I want you to go out and prepare your mother as my bride. And I said, oh, I know how to get a bride ready. I just don't know how to get somebody ready to die. But with that, the Lord began giving me new ways to think about celebrating life with Mother every single day, to enter into the courage that she also had. And those next months were some of the most precious months I have ever known in my entire life.
How many times did you have to fly from New Jersey or wherever you were? Where were you? Mm-hmm. Pennsylvania, New Jersey, to Colorado?
Well, let's see. It was over a period of 7 months, and I must have spent 5 months total there, going back and forth, maybe 10 times.
And did you sing?
Oh, did we sing? That was part of the celebrating. I had been taught to sing from the very earliest days of my life. And I don't think Dad wanted us to sing because we were happy. He wanted us to sing in order to be happy.
Arlita Winston has been talking about her parents and their courage. Thank God for that.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.